Today, I want to talk to you about, as we're going to be moving into another part of this here, which is actually the fifth part, level five, prayer burden. And I want to talk to you tonight on how to carry a prayer burden. How to carry a prayer burden. And with this, I know that it's going to bless you, and I know it's going to increase, and I know that it's going to bless you. So as we're moving forward tonight, let's begin to get into our teaching here, carrying a prayer burden, level five. And yet we have discussed different topics. We have discussed asking. We have discussed seeking. We talked about knocking. And then lastly, we spoke on fasting. And so tonight we're going to consider the fifth level of prevailing prayer, interceding with a prayer burden, interceding with a prayer burden. And yet this level of intensity, yinananamasanda, this level of intensity is marked by urgency. It's marked by commitment to the priority of the need and just a holy determination. What? To pray until God answers. To pray until God answers. And it is not only knocking at heaven's gate, but prevailing in the spirit. Hear me, prevailing in the spirit. And yet we begin to prevail with prayer, with a prayer burden only by what? The enablement of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because he summons you to pray in prayer and to pray for the need and guides you in your praying and what, and then fills you with a holy desire so intense that it becomes not only a deep concern, but a consuming spiritual passion to prevail with God and over Satan. And yet, prayer a burden begins as an inner impression, as an inner impression. God will lay something on your heart. He'll lay something, a burning passion, a burning desire, a flame, a fire is in your spirit, man. And yet God begins to lay this thing on you. And yet this impression that you should pray for a known or an unknown need. And yet it is a work of grace. It is a gracious work of the Holy Spirit applying spiritual pressure. Hear me. Applying spiritual pressure upon your heart. And yet it is God's way to call you to intercession at a time when your prayer is needed by God, who has ordained to work what through the intercession of his children. And yet it is needed and indeed demanded what by a situation that cries for God's answer. And yet the burden is the Spirit's personal call for you to begin to intercede. Now there are varieties of prayer burdens, but I want to take a look here, and we want to go to Scripture. I want to take a look at tonight because we're talking about how to carry a prayer burden. How to carry something so intense, like you become pregnant and you carry, you labor until the birthing, until the fruition of this thing, until what you are carrying begins to come forth. That is how you carry a prayer burden, like you're carrying a seed. And so I want to take a look here because this requires prayer and consecration. And yet, as we're going to take a look tonight here, as we're going to go a little bit further and look at this prayer burden, I want to begin to take a look at certain individuals because intercessory prayer moves God. Hear me. Intercessory prayer moves the hand of God. Bishop Hanley, the late Bishop Hanley Moe said, intercessory prayer is a powerful means of grace for the praying man. The English, this English missionary, Henry Martyr, observed that at times of inward dryness and depression, he often found a delightful revival in the act of praying for others, for their conversion, their sanctification, or their prosperity in the work of the Lord. And yet his intercessions with God about these gifts and blessings were for him. See the divinely nature, natural channel of a renewed insight into his own part and lot in Christ. Christ was his own rest and prayer. Hear me. Christ was his own rest and power into the perfect freedom of an entire yielding of himself to his master for his work. So we want to talk about this prevailing, intercede, and how to carry a burden. Why? Because prayer unites with God's purposes. It begins to unfold some things in your life. And yet I want to take a look at the man called Moses and how Moses' character was greatly affected by his praying. His 40 days of close interaction and prayer with God worked a greater change in his character than did the exchanges with God when he received the law. When he came down from the mountain, what after his long prayer, the Bible says that his face shone with dazzling brightness, and we see that in Exodus chapter 34, Exodus chapter 34, verses 29 through 30. And yet our heights of transfiguration and loving character and conduct are born out of seasons of prayer. You want change in your life? Let prayer, let interceding prayer become a passion in your heart. God has responded to all night of praying by changing many. He did it for Jacob. He did it for Jacob, Jacob, a supplanter, and turned him into Israel, a prince who has power with God and men. You see, beloved, prayer deals directly with God. Why? Because he is pleased to order his policy and base his actions on the prayers of his saints. Prayer influences God greatly. Moses could not do God's great work, even though it was God's commission, without praying. Moses could not govern God's people and carry out the divine plans without having his censer full of the incense of prayer. And yet, the work of God cannot be done unless the fire and the fragrance, of prayer are always burning, ascending, and perfuming. Moses prayed often, to relieve the terrible stroke of God's wrath. Four times, Pharaoh solicited the prayers of Moses. He solicited the prayers of Moses for relief from the fearful blow of God's wrath. We're talking about carrying a prayer burden and how to prevail in carrying a prayer burden. I say to you tonight, learn to carry a prayer burden and you do not give up. And so Pharaoh asked for the prayers of Moses so that God will steady his hand, that God will stop and hold back his hand. We see in Exodus chapter 8 and verse 8 where Pharaoh says, entreat the Lord. Entreat the Lord. Entreat the Lord, begged Pharaoh, while the frogs were upon him. And the Bible says, and Moses cried unto the Lord because of the frogs which he had brought against Pharaoh. And the Lord did according to the word of Moses. In Exodus chapter 8, verses 12 through 13, God answered his prayers. When the grievous plague of fire, of flies, had corrupted the whole land, Pharaoh again cried out to Moses, entreat me. In verse 28, Moses left Pharaoh and begged the Lord, and again the Lord answered and did as Moses asked of him. The plague of fiery hell, which destroyed all of Egypt's crops, brought Pharaoh to Moses with the same earnest appeal, entreat the Lord. I say to you tonight, there's something going on in your life. Entreat the Lord and get into prayer, and don't you stop. Carry that prayer burden until something changes, until something shifts. Because prayer influences God greatly. Prayer deals directly with God. So he asked him, he entreated the Lord. Exodus 9 and 28. And Moses went into the privacy of the wilderness alone with Almighty God, and he spread abroad his hands unto the Lord. And the thunders and the hail ceased, and the rain was not poured upon the earth. In verse 33. Though Moses was the man of law, prayer with him still asserted his mighty force. As in the more spiritual dispensation, Moses could have said literally, "My house is the house of prayer," according to Luke chapter 9 and verse 19 and verse 46. Moses has accepted the foundation principle of praying at its full face value. Why? Because prayer deals directly with God. And yet with Abraham, we see this clearly and strongly in his life. With Moses, it is still clearer and stronger, if even that is possible. And yet, the principle is prayer affects God. God's conduct is influenced by prayer. And yet, a continuation of this principle is that God hears and answers prayer, even when the hearing and answering might change his conduct and reverse his action. So our decree is, call unto me and I will answer thee. Call unto me and I will answer thee, according to Jeremiah 33 and 3. And so the decree is stronger than all other laws and more inflexible than any other decree. And yet Moses had bold, free, and unhindered access to God. Because he did it in prayer. He did it in prayer. You see, familiarity and closeness to God gives delight, frequency, focus, and potency to prayer. Those who know God the best are the richest and the most powerful in obtaining answers to prayer. Why? Because prayer becomes a rare thing for those unacquainted with God. And yet Moses sometimes found himself reduced to extreme conditions that God decided not to relieve. However, there are no circumstances too extreme for God to relieve. And yet Moses' mission was divine. It was ordered, it was directed, and it was planned by God. And yet we see that as he was carrying the burdens, as he was carrying a prayer burden and interceding, Moses urgently prayed for the salvation of the Lord's people for 40 days and 40 nights. His concern was so intense for them that his physical infirmities and appetite were taken away during long seasons of prayer. Well, you have no desire for food. You have no desire for earthly things. Because it is such a passion by the Holy Ghost to pray for the salvation of a people for 40 days and 40 nights. Yet many of us give up so easily. But we don't see this in the case of the man called Moses. So we see so much how this man sought the presence of the Lord. Then we begin to also see here, for the Bible declares in Exodus chapter 32 and verse 10. Now let's look at this. Now we're going to see the evidence of the strange effect a righteous man's prayers have on God can be seen in God's what? Explanation to Moses. Now look at this. I want y'all to get this here, because I want to see the evidence of the strange effects of a righteous man's prayers on God. Now, therefore, let me alone. Moses prayed so much till he got on God's nerves, till he weighed and till he worried God to the point where God says, let me alone, let me alone. Your prayers are ringing in my ears. Your intercession is ringing in my ears. Let me alone. Now, therefore, let me alone that my wrath may wax hot against them, that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation. Let me alone. Oh, saints, can you imagine where you are so much caught up in God that you're carrying a prayer burden until God just keeps getting this, like getting an email one after the other, an email, an email, an email, an email. It's like having robot calls coming constantly, constantly, constantly. Moses got to the point where God says, let me alone. Let me do as I want to, as I please with this people. And so we see the presence of such an influence over God fills us with astonishment and awe and fear. How bold and lofty and devoted is such a pleader? The Bible declares in Exodus chapter 32, verses 31 to 34, and Moses returned unto the Lord and says, oh, this people have sinned a great sin and have made them gods of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written. And the Lord said unto Moses, whosoever has sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. Therefore now go, lead the people unto the place of which I have spoken unto thee. Behold, mine angel shall go before thee. We also see at the rebellion of Korah, God's anger flamed out against everyone in Israel who sympathized with the rebels. And again, Moses appeared on the stage of action once again. And this time, Aaron joined him in intercession for their sins. In a serious time like this, Moses knew where to go for relief. He knew to pray that God would answer by holding back his wrath to spare Israel. Here is what Scripture says about the situation according to Numbers chapter 16, verses 20 through 22. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, separate yourselves from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment. Now let's look and see what they did, because they were carrying a burden for the people. And they fell on their faces. They laid prostrate. They got on the floor. They got on bending knees, and they laid prostrate. And they fell on their faces and said, oh God, the God of the spirits of all flesh, shall one man sin, and will thou be wroth with all the congregation? We also begin to see that the assumption and the pride and the rebellion of Miriam, the sister of Moses, in which she had the presence and sympathy of Aaron, put the praying and the spirit of Moses in the noblest and the most admirable light. Because of her sin, God smote her in leprosy. But Moses made tender and earnest intercession for his sister who had so grievously offended God. His prayers was answered once again. His prayers was answered, and God saved her from the fearful and the incurable disease. We see this in the book of Numbers chapter 12, verses 9 through 14, and it reads, And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed, and the cloud departed from off the tabernacle. And behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow, and Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. And Aaron said unto Moses, alas, my Lord, I beseech thee, lay not the sin upon us, wherein we have done foolishly, and wherein we have sinned. Let her not be as one dead, of whom the flesh is half consumed when he cometh out of his mother's womb. And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, heal her now, heal her now, heal her now, O God, I beseech thee. Heal her now, O God, I beseech thee. And the Lord said unto Moses, if her father had but spit in her face, should she not be ashamed? 7 days, let her be shut out from the camp 7 days, and after that, let her be received again. We see the great Moses again carrying a burden as usual. The murmurings of the children of Israel furnished conditions that called into play the full force of prayer. These conditions, yet they didn't learn, these conditions was to bring about out the intercessory feature of prayer and disclose Moses in his great office as an intercessor. It was at Mirah that the waters were bitter, and it was here that the people grievously murmured against Moses and God. And yet the Scripture declares in Exodus chapter 15, verses 23 and 25, I'm talking about carrying a prayer burden, how to carry a prayer burden, an intercessory prayer. And the Bible declares in Exodus, the Bible declares in Exodus chapter 15, verses 23 through 25, and when they came to Mirah, they could not drink of the waters of Mirah, Myra, for they were bitter, and therefore the name of it was called Myra. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree which he had cast into the waters. The waters were made sweet. There he made for them what? A statue and an audience, and there he proved them. Yet we see that the records of eternity alone will disclose how bitter places of the earth have been sweetened by answers to God's prayer. And again at Tamira, the people complained, and God became angry with them. Moses again came to the forefront. Moses again came to the front and stepped into the breach and prayed for them. And we read in the book of Numbers chapter 11, verses 1 through 2, and when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost part of the camp. And the people cried, and the people cried unto Moses, and when Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched. Yet Moses got what he asked for. His praying was so specific, and God's answer was likewise specific. Almighty God always heard. He always heard and always answered Moses when he prayed. Once, however, the answer was not quite yet specific. It wasn't at all specific. Moses had prayed to go into Canaan. And the answer came, but it was not what he asked for. He was given a vision of the promised land, but he was not allowed to cross the Jordan into the land. You see, Moses' prayer was a prayer on the order of Paul's when he prayed three times for the removal of the thorn in his flesh. And yet in this case, the thorn was not removed. And like Moses, Paul did not get what he asked for. However, God did provide grace that made the thorn a blessing. And yet we see the 19th Psalm, though it is incorporated with the Psalms of David, is a tribute to Moses. And yet it begins to give us a sample of the prayers of God's lawgiver. It is a prayer worth studying. It is sacred, and I want many of you to read it. It is sacred. Why? Because it has been uttered over our dead for years. However, it is very familiarity may cause us to lose its full meaning. And yet many of us would be wise if we digested it, not for the dead, but for the living, and let it teach us how to live, how to pray while living, and how to die. Psalms 90, I'm going to read Psalms 90 and verses 12 and 17. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. Our next verse. Establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. We're talking about carrying a prayer burden. Carrying a prayer burden. Carrying a prayer burden. And so what I want to do, it's going to take a look at different varieties of prayer burdens. We won't finish all of this tonight. We've seen how Moses was always carrying a prayer burden. And yet there are at least five varieties of prayer burdens, and yet all of them involve the Holy Spirit calling you to prayer and your response as a priest of God. Why? Because you are a priest of God, according to 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 5 and 9. I want to see if I can go to those verses of Scripture. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 5 and verse 9. And now I'm going to go take a look at Revelation chapter 1 and verse 6. Graban, nina na 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 masando. Gimana na 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 masiki la la ma ramanene na na masia. Ye kala mroba si nena nana ma kurubu si nena nana ma kashaba. First Peter chapter 2 and verse 5 and verse 9. Okay, First Peter chapter 2 verse 5. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up sacrificial praises. Listen to now. To offer up sacrificial, well, sorry, rather, to offer up spiritual sacrifices. To offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye, come on, that ye should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into the marvelous light. You are a royal priesthood, a chosen generation, a peculiar people. So we are priests of God. Revelations chapter 1 and verse 6. And it reads, and has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So we see here that we are priests of God interceding on earth while your Lord intercedes on heaven's throne. So as we're going to take a look at these five varieties of prayer burdens, number one is instant emergency prayer burden. Instant emergency prayer burden. Now, this is a sudden strong call of the Spirit, an unexpected, a sudden compulsion within your heart. When you feel an inner pressure to pray, a sense what that your prayer is needed, it may vary in specific, and yet you may feel a certain person is in danger or at a crisis of decisions, or you may suddenly be reminded of someone and feel constrained to pray. And as soon as you begin to pray, the burden gets heavier. The burden gets heavier, and you feel the Spirit's help in prayer. Now, this may begin with a sudden sense of danger, urgency, or a need, a feeling that something or someone needs prayer. And as you pray, the burden will probably increase. I want to show you how to know that you're carrying a prayer burden. And as you pray, something begins to increase in you. And yet some person or situation may be brought to your mind. And yet you may not know clearly the reason for your SOS prayer. You may not know the reason of this prayer burden until sometime later. And you may never know. And this is not important. Yet it is important to go instantly to prayer. And yet you can be sure God does not play games with you. When his Spirit prompts you to pray, perhaps by God's angel injecting the thought into your mind, your prayer is urgently needed. Emergency prayer burdens are usually for a brief, urgent need. You pray at once, or you fail God and the situation. And yet if you don't know what to pray, or know at first how to pray, you can always pray, Lord, your will be done. Whatever the need may be, your will be done. The enemy is defeated. Help whoever is needed. Work in power. Work just now. You can plead in Jesus' name. You can plead the blood of Jesus. You can claim Christ's victory at Calvary. Prevail, prevail, prevail. And as you do, the Spirit may clarify more and more to your mind what you are praying for. And yet, hold on till God lifts the prayer burden and gives you peace. Number two of the five varieties of carrying a prayer burden. Gradually deepening your prayer burden. Number two, gradually deepening your prayer burden. Sometimes God attracts your interest to a person or a situation that needs prayer. And at first you may pray sporadically. When you happen to think of it, but as time goes by, you may find the need has a regular place in your prayer until it becomes a true prayer burden upon your heart. And yet, it may become one of the major items which you pray. And yet you begin to realize that God is holding you responsible to pray regularly and earnestly for the person or need until the answer comes, until his answer comes. Yet in the early stages of deepening prayer burdens, you may not realize that the Spirit is specifically guiding your praying. But as you continue to pray, what you are increasingly sure that it is a true prayer assignment from God. Then it calls for discipline, intercession on your part. You can redeem spare moments by praying for this need. And yet your heartstrings become very closely bound to the need. And yet every believer should be carrying several such major prayer burdens on his or her personal prayer list. Got to get your prayer list. Hallelujah. Number three, the five varieties of carrying a prayer burden. Gradually deepening prayer concern leading to instant prayer burden. Gradually deepening prayer concern leading to instant prayer burden. And yet at times God may place a person, a situation, or a special need upon your heart in a gradually deepening concern. You may be reminded of it repeatedly during your prayer time. Perhaps you feel led to place it on your prayer list, and you may pray for the person off and on over a period of weeks or months, and then you realize that your concern has what become a spiritual responsibility and that your love for the person being prayed for what is deepening constantly. And yet it may even be for what a period of hours or days you feel the prayer concern much intensified, and yet God is calling you. God is calling you what to a special prayer responsibility. And then one day you may feel the deep, deep, instant prayer burden that I've described to you. Yet I remember a deepening prayer concern that I carried over a period of months for a loved one. Then came a two-week period when I found this person often on my heart, and I used free moments and times again and again to pray. But one afternoon, I was gripped by the Holy Spirit. I was gripped by an instant prayer burden, and I prevailed. I prevailed for several hours in deep, prevailing intercession. And then God lifted the burden. I later found out at that exact time that several, thousand miles away, I later found out that at that exact time God had answered that prayer. Because this person was in a major accident and it was in a dangerous situation. And then God lifted and turned things around. Number four, long-term prayer burden. Long-term prayer burden is when God may give you a long-term prayer burden of his children. Undoubtedly, all Christians should carry long-term prayer burdens that they should include in their daily prayers and especially in their longer times of prayer. And yet these long-term prayer burdens may be for such needs ministry or a revival or for a church or for someone that is going through something. Where the prayer may be months, or prayer may begin months in advance. And so, long-term prayer burdens. Oh, Holy Spirit. And yet, you can take on your heart a prayer ministry for one or more people caring for them a long-term prayer concern that God can deepen into a real prayer burden. You can also become that person's prayer partner. You can enter into every phase of ministry of that person through your burden-bearing prayer. Now, other possible long-term prayer burdens are for such things as the ministry or maybe of an evangelistic team. And yet the list of a possible long-term prayer burden is almost endless. Every believer should be carrying a prayer burden constantly for several major concerns. Are you hearing me? You should be carrying a list of several major prayer concerns. Number five, long-term prayer burdens that call for movements of prayer. Yet many of the items that I've talked about can be so urgent that they call for whole movements of prayer. You can become a part of the movement of prayer, maybe for worldwide revival. See, and so may God make us, all of us, prayer mobilizers, that we will carry the burdens for others. And so, we'll be concluded in just a moment. I want to talk to you about prayer burdens described, because a prayer burden is a spiritual concern on the heart of God, what that is imparted by the Holy Spirit, what to someone whose intercession the Holy Spirit desires to use. Jesus has an interceding for this need, and now the Spirit needs you to join with the intercession of Jesus. And yet it is a specially sacred level of prayer intensity and prayer responsibility. And yet it is always a special trust committed to you from the Lord, a special call of the Spirit for faithful intercession. And our next part, I'm going to talk about how to carry a prayer burden, and I'm going to talk to you some more concerning carrying a prayer burden, meaning interceding and prevailing in intercession for someone else. And I want to talk to you about five steps in describing a prayer burden. I want to go a little deeper into that. And then we're going to move forward and talk to you about how to carry a prayer burden. I'm going to talk to you about how to focus on that and how to prepare yourself to be a burden carrier in interceding for others. And I believe that this is one of the strongest things, the most powerful things that can ever happen in your life. God favors you. God blesses you. God does miracles for you. I can also tell you that it would increase your life in so many ways, not just spiritually, but also in this world. Financial blessings will start showing up. People will start giving to you, start blessing. Why? Because you're not doing it for that. You're doing it because you have such a passion to pray and to carry the burdens of others. God blesses you. God saves loved ones. God covers you. He speaks to you so much more clearly. You hear his voice so much more clearly. You become attuned to the Spirit of the Lord.
And so as we continue to move forward in this teaching on carrying a prayer burden, I want you to begin to know that Jesus Christ was the ultimate intercessor. Jesus Christ was the ultimate prayer burden carrier. Because Jesus Christ is still interceding and carrying our burdens. When he was on the cross, he was carrying the burdens of the world. He is the ultimate mediator. You see, I want you to begin to understand and get this revelation because this is critical. This means to you and I that Christ's work is forever going on. It means that our prayers of intercession are always and only what an extension of his work of intercession. And why is this so important to us? Why? Because God won't honor any intercession except Christ. And also because of this understanding, hear me, saints, because of this understanding, we make our prayers of intercession infinitely more powerful. Now, let us begin to take a look here. This prayer burden describe. Number one, a prayer burden, what is a spiritual concern? I want you to get that with me tonight. A prayer burden is a spiritual concern. It is an unselfish concern for the Lord's will in a person or in a situation. It is a desire. It is a desire, what? For God's mercy and God's help and for that which is highest and best. And yet this concern, which is only, can only be done by the Holy Ghost and us becoming so in tune to us. Listen, I want to prepare. I'm already preparing a teaching on, listening and how to become more sensitive to God's voice. And so it is a desire for God's mercy and God's help and for that which is the highest and the best. And yet this concern weighs down upon you and I in our times of prayer, causing us to pray as much as possible for the need. It shares with the praying person the same compassion and desire that God has. I want y'all to get that. It is like sharing the same prayers, the same compassion that God has for the individual or the situation. Number two, a prayer burden is God-given. Its source is not natural, sympathy, emotion. It is not something worked up by long or loud praying. It is not the result of psychological manipulation or mass psychology. It is not the result of that. While it may spread from one person to another, it does so primarily what? Among those deeply spiritual, those deeply committed, and those deeply involved in intercession. Why? Because a prayer burden that is primarily emotional will be superficial and will yield no lasting spiritual results. Can't do it by your emotions. It has to be spiritual. It is a burden born in the heart of God, which indicates it is a valid part of Christ's intercession, and it is conveyed to you by the Spirit's guidance and touch. Father God, I pray right now that everyone that is listening to this teaching right now, Father God, I pray right now that you will fill their hearts with a passion, that you will so fill their hearts with a passion for carrying prayer burdens for your people, for ministries, for the country, for the government, for their local cities, for their communities, for their families, for their leaders. Hallelujah. Number three, as we are describing what a prayer burden is, a prayer burden is very personal. Others may or may not share your vision, your burden, or your concern. But if it is something that God put specially on you, you are the one responsible to intercede. It is a commitment between you and the Lord. It is a commitment between you and Christ, you and the Father, you and the Holy Ghost. You must bear the burden for the need on behalf of the Lord, or more accurately, an intercessory partnership with the Lord. This is what you're doing. It's a partnership between you and the kingdom, between you and God. Why? Because you're interceding. You are doing the work of Christ. For even as he interceded for us on Calvary, even as he's interceding now in the throne of God for us, we are only continuing and doing the work that he is steadily doing for us. Are we not joint heirs? Are we not the sons of God as well? So today I say to you, partner with God and take up the burden. Carry this prayer burden and intercede for others. And yet it begins in a hidden way privately, what, in your own heart. Prayer burden, a prayer burden will be carried primarily before the Lord in the secret place. And no one can fully know the depth of the concern the Lord places upon your heart. The burden perhaps will rest so heavily on you that others will sense that something is resting heavily on you. I want to go to a verse of scripture. Join me in the book of Nehemiah, chapter 2, round about verse 2. Because Nehemiah carried such a burden. And it reads in Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 2. Wherefore the king said unto me, why is this countenance sad? Why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. And so he says, then I was very sore afraid. Verse 3, and said unto the king, let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad? When the city, the place of my father's sepulchres, lieth waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire. So Nehemiah carried such a burden. And yet it may be that others will sense it from the depths of your praying if you mention this particular need during your public prayer. It is not wrong for others to begin to discern it, but you should not be sharing your concern widely unless you are specifically led by the Spirit to do so. Now, the Bible declares in the book of St. Matthew, chapter 6, round about verse 16 through 18. I want to read that because I want you all to get this here today. The Bible declares in St. Matthew chapter 6, verse 16, Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face. Anoint thine head and wash thy face. Now, this is very powerful. You're anointing your head. Thou anointed my head with oil. Why? Because God wants you to begin to take on a new mindset. And then he says, watch thy face, watch thy countenance. Verse 18, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. So clear up your countenance. Why? Because it is a sacred, secret trust that you have received from the Lord. Number 4, as we're describing a prayer burden. A prayer burden may move you very deeply. A prayer burden may move you very deeply. When the Lord places the bear burden upon you heavily, it literally weighs upon your heart. It just weighs you down, and you can't let it go. And the more fully you identify with the need, the more deeply you feel it. And yet it may include an even deeper God-given agape love for the ones involved in the need. It's an agape love. Now, as we're looking at this agape love, and I want us to begin to get some clarity and some understanding here. Because we use the word love here, and as I'm speaking of it, because the Greeks had 4 words to express different kinds of love. Because as we're looking at this word to describe, there are all kinds of feelings when we're talking about this, feelings from adoration to lust. But the ancient Greeks had 4 words to express different kinds of love. We have the ereo, which is spelled E-R-A-O. E-R-A-O, number one, and that was for sexual passion, a word not found in the New Testament. And then our second word, and I hope I'm pronouncing this correctly, is storgio, which is spelled S-T-O-R-G-E-O. And this one means for family devotion. A word used in a negative sense in Timothy chapter 3, verse 3. For it says, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontent fears, despises of those that are good, meaning unloving. The third word is filio, which is P-H-I-L-E-O for friendship. a word appearing frequently within the New Testament, and then the fourth word is agapo, agapo, which is A-G-A-P-A-O, for loving kindness, for loving kindness. And so as we look at these first three Greek words used, were used abundantly in Greek writings, but the fourth word, agapo, or agape, was rarely used in Greek literature prior to the New Testament. So this word in the New Testament, when agape was used, it denoted showing kindness to strangers, giving hospitality, and being charitable. This is what we're talking about here. This is an agape love. And it was used by the New Testament writers to designate a volitional love, as opposed as to a purely emotional love, a form of a self-sacrificial love, and a love naturally expressed by God, but not so easily by men and women. It is a word that speaks of compassion, regard, and kindness, and true love. It is an unselfish love that transcends natural affinities. In short, it is a love that we don't naturally have, yet it is divine. Hear me, it is divine. John made a wonderful proclamation when he says God is love in 1 John 4:8. That means that God creates and sustains all things in love. I want y'all to get me, because I want y'all to get what this carrying this prayer burden. You cannot do it in your natural. You cannot do it in your flesh. This is an agape love, and this is only something that God can put deep down inside of you. And I pray that God will fill you with this agape love, that you will carry the prayer burdens of other people. And so John gave us this proclamation when he said God is love. And this means that God creates and he sustains what all things in love. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. What are we saying here? That God put a higher price on love than life itself. Because I love humanity, because I love all of us, you and I am willing to sacrifice the only begotten son. I am willing to take on the form and incarnate myself in the form of Jesus Christ, to be born in my creation so that I can save my creation. Why? Because God always needs a human form to do something. Hey, Haya la Masia. And so as we are looking at this love here, it is a self-sacrificial love. It is an unselfish love. And yet no one can possibly be described as being love itself. Only God is completely loving, because love is his very entity, his nature, his character. So when John writes God is love, what he is giving the reader, what the clearest and the briefest and the most comprehensive expression possible of the nature of God. The divine love motivated God to give his son to this world to die for our sins. God loves, and as a natural consequence of this love, he gives us his son, who gives us forgiveness and salvation and fellowship and eternal life. Believers can see the love of God most clearly in the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so we're talking about this agape love, which comes from the divine nature. And yet we are born again through the Spirit. We too can express agape love. We too can express agape love when we are learning to carry the prayer burdens of other people. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 says, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. And then verse 4 says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye may be partakers of the divine nature, having what escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, and beside this giving all diligence, and to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience. And to patience, godliness, hear me, verse 7, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you, and abound, that make you, that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, oh hallelujah, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins, from his old sins. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 9 says, whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him. For his seed remaineth in him. Oh, hallelujah. For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. So with this love that God gives us, it is impossible for us to truly love our friends and our co-workers and our neighbors and others in our life if we don't have that agape love. And so the more fully that we can begin to identify with the need, the more deeply that we're going to begin to feel it, and this may include an even deeper God-giving agape love for the ones involved in need, and yet it may involve a sense of danger or unholy concern, lest God's will be missed or be unfulfilled. And so you'll begin to notice that the more deeply the burden moves you, the more powerfully it involves your whole being. And yet when you are almost totally absorbed and possessed by a burden that continues for a matter of hour or days, you may lose your desire for food and even sleep. You may be moved to very sincere and expressive tears, according to Psalms 42 and verse 3. And let's take a look at Psalms chapter 42, verse 3. Yeah, Hayanana Masia. And it reads in Psalms chapter 42, verse 3, my tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? So you might be moved to a very sincere way of just tears, which can be a very powerful plea to God, a very powerful plea to God. I want to go take a look at Psalms 56 and verse 8. Psalms 56 verse 8 says, thou tellest my wanderings, put thou my tears into thy bottle, are they not in thy book? You see, God is moved by the depth of desire manifested in sincere tears. He's moved. For the Bible declares in 2 Kings, come on with me, 2 Kings chapter 20, and verse 5. And then we're going to go take a look at Psalms 126 and verse 5. And it reads in 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 5, turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people. Come on now, turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus saith the Lord, the God of David, thy father, I have heard thy prayer. I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee. And on the third day, thou shalt go up unto the house of the Lord. God will see your tears. God will see your tears. He will see that you're carrying this prayer burden, that it has so moved you to tears. God will run quickly. Let's head over to Psalms 126, verse 5. And it reads, They that sow in tears, hey, shall reap in joy. If you sow it in tears, you'll reap in joy. Number five, as we are describing a prayer burden. A prayer burden makes you responsible. A prayer burden makes you responsible. A prayer burden makes you responsible. Why? Because a spirit-given burden is a special mandate from the Lord. You may be the only one to whom the Spirit assigns this prayer burden. Or perhaps your earnest prayer is needed to be added in unity to the intercession being made by a number of others to whom God gives the same prayer burden. And yet, we must understand and understand that why God puts these things upon our heart. History records many of examples of how God worked and how God saved and how God blessed and he protected and he healed and he sent revival, or he gave other outstanding answers to prayers when someone was faithful to such a prayer burden, such a call and mandate from the Lord. And yet often later, the evidence what proves that the prayer was needed at the exact time, what when the Spirit called to move you into intercession by giving the prayer burden, by giving you the prayer burden. See, if God works so mightily at the exact time that someone is faithful to a prayer burden given by the Lord, what happens? Hear me, saints. What happens if the person fails to pray? Will we be shocked in eternity at the victories that were not won? The people who did not yield to God, or the great or the potential answers to prayers that were never received? Why? Because we or someone else were not faithful to the prayer burden God tried to give us? Saints, let us become sensitive to the wooing, to the moving of the Spirit. When God says something on your heart, pray for them. When God says do this, pray for them. When God tells you to do something, he visits you in a dream or in your time of prayer, God says don't hesitate, move and pray for him. I pray today that this has touched you and that God will so move with the burning passion deep within your heart and within your soul that you'll be compelled and moved by the hand of the Lord to carry a prayer burden for God's people. Hallelujah. Well, God bless you. Thank you so much. Listen, stay tuned as we're going to be moving to our next part of this teaching here, which is simply how to carry a prayer burden. God bless you. Love you and thank you. Peace and many, many blessings.